Okay, sir, I'm going to be conducting your hearing. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you just please state your name and your agency number for us for the record?
Melvin Lee Harrison, 224716.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. To my left is the Honorable David Neal. To my right is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting. I'm going to be your lead on your hearing today. Also with us representing the... Is this not working? Also with us today representing the Department of Correction is Mr. Turner, sir.
Okay.
You see Mr. Turner on the screen now. So prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
No, I did not.
Are you representing?
Excuse me one second, because I can't really hear. Can I ask you to cut it up a little bit?
Yes, sir.
Hold on one second.
Hey, can you cut it up a little bit? Because I can't hear
him. I wish they would really check these mics. There is something wrong with these mics.
Or the airport. Distortion.
Okay, can you hear us any better, sir?
Get closer. Alright.
Alright, can you hear us?
Right.
Can you hear me any better?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, was it not?
Yeah, yes, sir, I do.
Alright, can you hear me better now, sir?
Yeah, yes, yes, I can.
Okay. Alright, sir, prior to...
Alright,
no. Prior to your hearing today, sir, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. You recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
On that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or were you representing yourself today, sir?
Oh, I represent myself.
Okay. Sir, at this time, I want to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
So your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you, sir. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. The allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by you making threatening statements to Brevet staff on or about April 8, 2018 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay. I need you to say whether it's true or false, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's true?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, sir. Then based on the admission of Mr. Harrison, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. All right. Motion by myself. Second by Mr. Quinones. Agree with Mr. Neal. So we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board would make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then I'm going to go over some information with you, Mr. Harrison. Then we'll give you an opportunity to present whatever information you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Mr. Harrison was released from ADC custody on 1/23/2018. And arrested on 4/9/2018 by ADC on a tech warrant with no new charges. Returned back to ADC custody on 4/9/2018 with a CSID of 1/3/2019, zero absconding days. Current conviction, 2013, aggravated assault, 6 years. Prior convictions, 2007, aggravated DUI, 6 months. 2010, commitment B, count one, aggravated DUI, 2 years, 6 months. 2010, commitment C, count one, aggravated DUI, 3 years. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, he self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Crips Greater Phoenix area. Prior term to supervision, 2012 TIS release, arrested, reached CSED while in custody. Disciplinary is moderate with drugs, possession, manufacturing a weapon, disorderly conduct, and fighting noted. Other arrest, 1998 theft, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He currently has a GB score of G4, B5, and there was a status of charges that were requested due to the assault inquiry or the threatening, and at this time there's been no charges filed.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Harrison.
Yes, sir.
So, I see that when you were released from prison, you were approved to reside with Nathaniel Sutton at 625 East Indian School Road here in Phoenix, Arizona, on February 13, 2018. Then you made telephonic contact with your previous sponsor that had discharged you from the residence on February 14th, the offender reported to the South Mountain Parole Officer, and consent was provided for to reside with Annette Pittman at 2950 North 46th Street. And then on March 28th, your current sponsor made telephone with the state that no longer gives consent for you to stay there at 2550 North 46th Street. And then on March 30th, you were placed into the RCBM program and established residence at the V-Ray facility located at 2015 West Elm Street. And then it looks like on April 9th, you were discharged from the V-Ray program due to threatening V-Ray staff and failure to comply with V-Ray policies and practices. So what happened? So what happened when you were staying with Nathaniel? Why Nathaniel no longer wanted you to stay there on Indian School?
Because I was sneaking girls in and out of his house. I've been incarcerated for, as you can see on the paper, quite some time, and my mom, Nathaniel was my mom's boyfriend, and it wasn't his rule, it was her rule, but it's still the same thing. Like, when you go to bed, like, he's an older guy, I'll sneak your girls in and out, so he didn't actually kick me out, my mom put me out, because it was getting in between his relationship and her relationship, him letting me slide and do extra stuff, she didn't approve of.
Okay, well, what about when you were staying with Ms. Pittman?
Ms. Pittman, her problem was basically the same thing. I couldn't take women to her house, so I was staying in motel rooms certain nights, and my parole officer made her think that I wasn't able to stay anywhere besides her house at night. So I believe it was a Wednesday morning when she called my parole officer. Monday night and Tuesday night, I stayed with a girl in a motel room. But I had called and gave her the room number and everything. But when she goes to church, and she's pretty much like a stickler for the rules. And under her, like, her train of thought, but my parole officer told her, basically, she can get in trouble for me staying different nights. I told her that my clothes are here, I'm always here. If I can't have my girlfriend come stay over here, it, what's the problem with me staying, you know what I'm saying, a night or two in a motel room with her? So basically, she told me no, and she called my parole officer.
Right.
So I went to, it's like a little program called, it's right in front of Alhambra Community Bridges, and I seek placement for our extended halfway house.
All right. So, was Ms. Pittman related to you?
Yes, it's my aunt.
Okay, so what?
And, My mother and my brother all stay in the same complex.
Okay.
So, yeah, my aunt and my mom was like, basically a goon. It's like, oh, we know you, you gotta do this, and basically, so they didn't want to get me in trouble, but, yeah, that's what I did.
So what happened at Boot Ray, sir?
Boot Ray, I explained to you, it's like, I already wrote Boot Ray a letter and apologized for my conduct, my deplorable conduct, but, and that was like soon as I got here, but the situation that happened was, I went out that day to look for a job or whatever, because my brother, he's starting a detail business. So I went to get a couple of people to see like I can get in there, or you know what I'm saying, to do some employment, because I'm trying to get my SSI, so I'm not able to get a regular job. When I came back, my cell phone, a little chip, the memory card, your cell phone was missing. So I was in a bad mood. I went outside to go smoke a cigarette. It was right before count. So I was already mad for a couple hours, and I take psych medication or whatever. I was smoking a cigarette up under the basketball hoop. It's literally I'll say 7 feet from the smoking area, but technically I'm 3 feet from the smoking area from the little thing, and me and a guy got an argument over it. And with my stupidity, I decided to, after it was already over, I followed him into the office to continue the argument, and he told me to get out of there. And within, all I told him was, the way he was talking to me in front of everybody, I'm not your child. I'm a grown man. You can talk to me different. And with my comment to him, he just told me to pack my stuff and get out. So, me being an idiot, at first I didn't leave. So he called the police. I went outside, I waited for the police to come. Told the police what happened. They told me to get off the property. So I ain't gonna lie to you. I was mad. I went across the street. The police escorted me off the premises. It was nothing holding me back if I wanted to do something to the guy. But my thoughts of venting, I sat over there and I yelled at him and told him I get my friends to beat him up or whatever if I got violated on Monday. But yes, I did. But I just wanted the court to know if I really wanted to do something to him, and I have the charge of aggravated assault or whatever, I could have. I did. I was mad about my phone. I was venting. So I got it out of my system after I yelled for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. The police was there with me and him before the argument, and they still pulled off. So they didn't see any threat in it because they drove off. So after I got mad and I said what I said, I turned around, I walked off, I picked up my clothes off the curb, and I walked off. But I couldn't sit here and blame it on the way I grew up. I had a good home. I could have blamed it on my medication. No one tells me to take it when I feel like it. I'm supposed to take it when it's prescribed. So it was a whole bunch of things into it. I'll fess up. I'll own it because I did make a mistake. But to be honest with you guys, I've been in here for a long time, and prison is not going to help me. The program is helping me. I like the E-rate program. And if any consequence to it, I would like to continue the program from a different halfway house, because they had another place in Maryland, if that was anywhere possible. But, I don't even know what that noise is. Oh, never mind, the phone's ringing. The program was actually helping me. That's why I was so angry about him kicking me out, over me just telling him. Because all I told him was, hey, I'm a grown man. Don't speak to me like I'm your child. And he called the police on me for that.
All right.
So that's why I was angry about it, because I was sober. The day I went into my parole office, I was sober. I got an argument with him in there because of the same thing. Hey, the dude was in there smirking at me. And I had been to the place up there, Sunrise Place. And he wanted me to stay in there for 90 days or something. And he finally got me. So it pretty much is my fault the way I handle things. If I would take my amount of time, and if I was back before I reacted, none of it would have happened. But basically, I like the program, and I was very upset about them throwing me back in here. Prison for everybody else in here, like you see the guy that's my roommate or whatever, they like to, hey, well, I'm just going to kill my number. And that's not doing me any good. I got 7 months, basically. June 6th, I have 6 months to the gate. I can come in, I can live in my bunk for 6 months and get out and be back in the world with no problem, because I didn't get so much time. But my whole thing is having someone monitor me and see that actually, like, the way that I view it, I sit back and look at it now, it's better for me to have somebody monitor me. That's what I meant to say.
Right. So
I have children I haven't been around, and, you know, if I'm to get out, like, now, like, 6 months from now, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to be able to actually be in society. So I need something like that to help me, to better me, so when I do get out of this place or when I'm off parole, I continue to be a citizen.
Okay, well, sir, it seems like right after you got out, you relapsed. You were doing methamphetamine. You tested positive for methamphetamine. Twice and then once, and after that, you didn't give any samples. So why did you relapse to the drug, sir?
What you mean I didn't give any sample? I gave a sample to people, right? And my color was awful.
Well, it says that you failed to submit urine samples on February 27th and March 21st.
March 21st, I was locked up.
Okay, well,
no, February 22nd.
27th.
No, I missed one drug test. I missed one. That's it. He drug tested me in the office. I missed one.
Okay. Well, you did show you tested positive for methamphetamine.
Yes, I did. I made up a lie because I was going to do some things because I'll make it very simple to you. I'm sitting in my place, but I was sitting in my aunt's house or my mom. My mom, she is a stickler for the rules, so I got anger coming at me from one side from my mom.
Right.
I got all my family talking crazy about me behind my back. I got my parole officer that's stressing me out. I'm going to see him once a month. I'm seeing this guy 3 times a week sometimes.
Well, if you would have just followed the rules with your mom at the bank, you wouldn't have never been put out. But let me ask you a question, because what happened at Viva, what appears in the records that we have, is that the staff person really wasn't talking to you. He was going out there addressing some people out there playing basketball and bouncing the ball. And you?
No, that's not what happened.
Okay.
That's not what happened.
What happened?
What happened was I was sitting there, it was some dudes playing, I wasn't even playing basketball.
Right.
That's the whole point. I was standing by the basketball court smoking a cigarette.
Right.
Dudes was shooting the ball, and when he came out, he didn't address none of them dudes. He came right to me and started complaining to me about the cigarette. And in the basketball court, if you ever been, well, I know you guys have been to Viva, it's in the smoking section.
Okay.
That was the problem. Like, I'm looking at the guy like, hey, you ain't saying nothing to nobody else. Why you come over here to me? And I made a comment, hey, man, why, like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Why you saying something to me? You ain't saying nothing to nobody else. He basically started yelling at me in front of all those dudes. Like, it's like right before we go outside the house, it's like 10 dudes. And I took it the wrong way because I'm like, hey, like, you're yelling at me, so that's the reason I followed him inside the office. My psychosis is bipolar, schizophrenic. You know what I'm saying? Paranoid schizophrenic, but I'm bipolar. So I do make mistakes. Like, that's why I told you from the get-go, if I just took my medication, whatever, like, I'll take my medication. Like, if I get angry, I take it. That's how I'm supposed to take it. I'm supposed to take it. And when I eat in the morning, right before, like certain time, like 8 o'clock at night,
yes.
If I
already
took it when I was supposed to, that would be an excuse, but
all right.
It's my fault.
Well, sir, Let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Mr. Thomas?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify a couple of things with the UAs.
Okay.
And then I'd like to read a couple of the notes from the OMS notes.
Okay.
I believe that he's confusing the drug test he took for B-Brain for the drug test he takes for the state, because it's not the same. We do not recognize their test.
Okay.
So on 2/14 of 18, he did submit a sample that was positive for methamphetamines. On 2/27/18, his color of olive came up, no sample was collected. On 3/21 of 18, his color came up of olive, no sample was collected. Those would be the ones that we are referring to of not dropping a sample.
Okay.
What was the second one? 2/18?
2/27/2018 and 3/21/2018.
I was inside the place that the lady told me to go to. I couldn't drop a sample if I'm at the community bridges.
Well, you were supposed to go to, you had a UA when you call and your color come up, you were supposed to go and test, and you didn't go.
She told me when I got kicked out of my aunt's house to go to community bridges. That's the day I was in there. So how can I drop a sample if they won't let me out and I don't know my color came up? Because they take your cell phone when you go inside here.
Well, I can't answer that for you, sir, but when you're assigned the task and your color comes up, you're supposed to go, and they know that. So I can't answer to that, but go ahead, Mr. Turner, okay. There's something
else. OMS notes in reference to, I believe it's the Anthony speaking of, which is the sponsor on 3/28 of 18, the sponsor contacted the PO and stated the offender had not been home at the residence in the past two nights, and that last night the offender stayed at her place of residence, but as of 3/25 he had not there, and that she no longer wanted the offender to reside at her address. The offender reportedly called his mom Janice and told her that he was going to leave. Ms. Pittman has no idea where the offender was or may have gone. She states that she believes that he is using illegal drugs, drinking alcohol, and Annette also states the offender had a new cell phone, which she gave to the PO. The PO attempted to contact, and then Annette Pittman states the offender told his mom, Janice, that he is going to go get a gun. Also on 3/28, contact was made with the offender's mother, Janice, and said the offender sent her a text message stating that he is going to go on the run. The offender also sent her a text message stating he is going to get a gun right now. She is unsure if the offender is saying this to try and scare the family or whether the offender called last night morning. Offender may be hanging out around the airport. On 3/28, the PO was able to make contact with the offender on the number given by the aunt. The offender told them he didn't have time for you right now, and that he didn't have time for that shit, and the offender hung up the phone.
Okay. All right, Mr. Ashton, let me see if the board has any questions. Board has no questions, sir. So, Mr. Ashton, is there anything else you want to say to this board without repeating yourself as we come up on the conclusion of your hearing?
The only thing I would like to tell the board is if I can go to, like, the Sunrise program or something like that where I can get some actual, like, help, that would be better for me to stay in here. I have three kids, being here for 6 more months, that's probably what you guys want to do. Look on the paper yet, it looks real bad, but I'm supposed to be able to get mental health along with the physical health to show me the way to guide me through life. I've been in prison. My mom told me from the day I got out, you're not the same person that left years ago. Of course I'm not. I've been in a violent place. I'm still here in a human complex. I've been in 3 riots. You learn to be different around different people. You learn to be aggressive around aggressive people. There's no excuse for the things I did or the things I said. I understand that. I know it looks real bad on paper, but I'm not a bad person. So with that being said, I'll allow you guys to make your decision.
All right. So the board's going to go into the discussion. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line so you can hear the discussion taking place. However, I'm going to ask you to remain silent while you're on the phone. So the board is now going on to the discussion. We've talked to Mr. Harrison. We've gotten a report from the parole officer on what happened. Mr. Harrison was released. When he was released, He was staying with his mother's boyfriend, and things seemed to be going okay there, with the exception that he was bringing girls into the house, and that created a problem. He then left there and went to stay, I believe it was, with his grandmother. And he couldn't follow the rules there at his grandmother's house. He subsequently wind up at Vibre and wind up into an argument with the staff there, reference an incident that actually occurred there, with also inclusive that he did test positive and relapse for methamphetamines. And it just appears that Mr. Harrison just doesn't want to follow the rules. At all three locations, he didn't follow the rules, and had he not did that, you know, he wouldn't be in front of us now. He's taking his medications. He said he was not taking his medications regularly while he was out. The PO was working with him and did try to put him in programs to assist him. However, he subsequently got out of those programs. So I think Mr. Harrison will be released on January 3rd of 2019. It would be better for Mr. Harrison to go ahead and complete his time. And then when he gets out, he won't be on parole or community supervision. So he won't have to follow those restrictive rules if he's staying with somebody. And hopefully while he's in there, he'll get involved in NA or AA or some drug programs, get stabilized on his medication, so that when he gets out, he'll be a productive citizen and won't have to come back before law enforcement or negative contacts with the law enforcement again. That is my statement. I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Not hearing any comment, that I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Harrison, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms, conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed by Mr. Quinones. Mr. Harrison?
Yeah.
Sir, the board voted to revoke your community supervision. Sir, you are out. You had the opportunity to remain. Now, however, you, regardless to what the rules were, and I understand that you've been incarcerated, but you didn't want to follow the rules at your mother's boyfriend's house, at your grandmother's house, or when you were at Vibre, you got into a confrontation or an argument with the staff there, and you relapsed on methamphetamine, sir. Why don't you, while you're in there, sir, get stabilized on your medication. Get involved.
I'll see how I'm going to get stabilized on something when you guys... Well, you know what? It don't make no sense. I don't even care. You feel me? You don't see that I have mental problems.
No, sir, it's not that.
If a person tells you he has mental issues and you see him doing mental stuff, you rather send him back to prison where he's going to be around a whole bunch of troublemakers where I'm not going to get any help, where it's more drugs in here than on the street.
That's
I asked you to just send me to, they have a 90-day program.
So you were in programs. You had that opportunity, sir. And the problems weren't the programs.
You
the
know,
problems
were too much in the country.
I'm sorry, was there a threat in there?
I don't know. It depends on how Mr.
Did he say you're something or did he say you're bad?
No, he said
you, you're
a dick.
Oh, okay. But I'm just trying to make sure that
it's got to be right. I said, fuck you, eat a dick. That's what I said. Fuck you, eat a dick.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that clarification. A nice day.